I think I chose this subject for a couple reasons.
One, because it was a wide-ranging subject that we discuss, and there's no way that I think anybody could really discuss this in a half an hour or their lifetime, maybe even. Love is a wide-ranging subject, but we'll see that it see. So love I don't know if that really matters or not, but anywhere from 300 and something to 500 and something. Mentions love and 13 times, only 13 times. Now I don't know if anybody's heard. Yeah, I think it depends on what translation you're getting out of, because obviously charity is love also. So, and that's said many more times. I would like to start off this song here has stuck in my mind for 45 years, and I just want to read a little bit of it. How happy is our portion here? God is love. His promises are spirit's cheer. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. The whole Bible is a love story. From in the beginning to our wait for the second coming of Christ. In 1 John 4:16 reads, in part, God is love. And further down in 1 John 4:19, it reads, we love or we love him because he first loved us. To say that love is intended or true love is not possible without God. If God is love, then to be godless is to be loveless. 1 John 4:8. Greco-Christian term referring to love is agape, and we've seen, I don't know if there's a difference between the four types of love, the seven types of love, but for here, we're gonna concentrate on agape love, charity in the highest form. So agape was the Greco-Christian term referring to that, the Hebrew term at the time, I believe it's pronounced Ahava. Our two greatest commandments happen to do with love. Jesus says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's in Matthew 22:37-39. Love is very real, but yet can't be fully comprehended or explained. You can't hold it in your hand, but yet your entire existence depends on it. Although we cannot measure love's mass, it's the heaviest or the weightiest thing we will ever encounter. We hear the term in the name of love a lot, and do we really know what that means? We water down love through different cultures and countries, but you cannot control love. You can only accept it. And if you do not accept it, you will not know of it. Pop culture's most common theme is love. We see it every day. From books to movies to songs, the human race chases after love but often misses its mark. Love is hard to describe because it exceeds our thoughts' limits and our tongue's limits. It's exalted far above our conscious way of defining things. Man tries to define love, but God owns the definition. Some quotes maybe you've heard before. Where there is love, there is life. That was Muhammad Gandhi. And it's true. But but I'm not sure that, not sure what his belief was there. To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides. David Biscott. Dolly Parton says to love some, love is something sent from heaven to worry the hell out of you. Funny. Somebody who studied Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, and all kinds of things, but I identify as Christian, and this is one of my favorites, is have enough courage to trust love one more time and always one more time. I want to look at 9 different loves in the Bible. Let's start with Abraham and Isaac as one love, baby Moses as a mother's love, the prodigal son as father's love, Samson and Delilah as bad love, Ruth and Naomi as faithful love, Mary and Joseph as trusting love, the Good Samaritan as neighborly love, loving your enemies as tough love, and the crucifixion as sacrificial love. One love, Abraham and Isaac. And although we know the story, I think it'll put it in text, for me anyway, that Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. In Genesis 22:2, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And I think if we read in John 3:16, we see how that ties in with Christ. Next, we're going to talk about a mother's love. And we'll go to baby Moses. Go to Exodus chapter 2. And we can read that very, kids love this story, it's a popular story, that when Jochebed was Moses' mother, the Israelites were growing in numbers, they were growing in strength, and no matter what Pharaoh would do, he realized that unless he called the Israelites and called the young men, that they were going to rise up. So he wanted the baby boys thrown into the Nile. With mother hid him. Pharaoh's daughter found him. And his mother was able to raise him. You know, a mother's love is found in many ways. One of the more heartfelt ways, and we hear this quite a bit, is you hear a mother who's pregnant and she's going to give birth and she finds out she has cancer. And you almost always hear the story that mother will go to term or go as far as she can because she is more concerned about the birth of that child and that baby than she is herself, even though her own existence isn't her. Postpartum is not an option. Because once her baby's born, then she knows that she will be having to go through this treatment. Or with her child there, she can't. Next to fathers, and we'll go to the story of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, 18 through 20, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Much like a mother's love, a father's love is sometimes shrouded in a few different things. Tough love, discipline, we see that. But no less a father loves than a mother would. And we've seen many things throughout history where fathers have laid down their lives for their families. Well, here we see a father who has every right to turn his son away. But yet when he sees him, he'll accept. And it goes back into kind of that quote earlier. Love always one more time and again one more time. Frederick Douglass, who was born in the 1800s, slavery, he said this quote, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And I think that's true. So to raise children right and always accept them in your arms. Next, we're going to discuss a bad love. And for that, we're going to go to the story of Samson and Delilah. We're going to Judges 16 and 15. And again, I'm picking very familiar stories, and I wanted to pick some more less familiar stories, but these are just too good. And they explain just exactly what this is. After being tried a few times, Delilah tried Samson again. Samson was given great strength. And the Philistines were trying to grab Samson and throw him off. Samson was a judge at the time. And after testing him a few times, she said, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. That doesn't sound like love. And her motive wasn't good. We know that she was paid in silver and shekels. And how did it end? It ended bad, didn't it? We have more examples of bad love throughout the Bible. Most of the kings, whether they started good or bad, at times had very bad. Good intentions, but very bad results. They have turned. Bad love, you can say, the greatest bad love in the Bible might be Judas. Bad love is all around us. Look at our divorce rates. They keep going. Now the biggest thing you hear is power couples, how important power couples are. I don't think that's real. Not necessarily bad love, but when it's worshipped the way it is in our culture, it is bad love. Next, let's look at faith. And to that, let's look in Ruth 1:16. Look at Ruth and Naomi. What did I say? 1:16. And Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even death separates you and me, if even death separates you and me." Ruth was very faithful to Naomi. She had her whole life ahead of her. But she had the heart of faithful love. We see that a lot. We see that a lot with the people that we love. When we go to family reunions, you know, when you read some older books and those books have a lot to do with people traveling and seeing other people because it wasn't readily the phone. You didn't have a phone. And when you did go see people, it was a big deal. And family reunions today are a big deal. You get to see your families. And you get to remember how much you loved them. Other examples of faithful love in the Bible, the book of Job. Job. And Stephen. I remember a terrible, and it's, I want to bring it up really, but it was a shooting, and it's happened throughout history, as we hear, is a lot of people are tested at the time when somebody's about to kill them, and they ask, "Do you believe in God?" The only stories you hear about that are the people that say yes. I'm guessing there's a lot of people that say to save their own lives. What would we do? Next, I want to talk about a trusting love. For that, we go to Mary and Joseph. In Luke 1:38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.'" The things that Mary and Joseph were being told, it's hard to believe. But yet they needed a trusting love. Other examples of trusting love, obviously, Noah. One example I think of trusting love, and it's a hard one. When you go to Iowa City, on the top floor of the Children's Cancer Center. I was brought over there not to be in the Children's Center, but to be close to that place. And I got on the elevator one day because you can get out and you can exercise in your rooms and you can get out and walk. So I took my tree and I got in the elevator, and instead of going down, I went up and I ended up on the Children's Cancer. And the door opened, and I knew where I was immediately because as the door's open, you can tell. You can tell where you are. And I hesitated. And then I walked out, not even knowing if I could be on the floor. This was pre-pandemic. The nurses were going by. Nobody really said anything. And I saw the children up and down the aisles. And in one space, a little chapel, especially for them. And I peered in, and I saw two in their brain. One of them was alone, one of them was with their parents. And that is a trusting love. As a child, to pray to God, not knowing what you're facing.
You have to trust in God.
It was very hard to turn around and watch myself walk with the tears going down my face, walking back off and getting back in that elevator. But I said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Because I remember you. Next, we'll talk about neighborly love. We'll talk about the Good Samaritan. We'll go to Luke 10, 36 and 37. I thought it would be easier for me to use the phone. I've never used it before to fly through instead of maybe using my page-turning finger. And the same finger turns this, so it's not very good. You know, you can wear those gloves sometimes that use your phone, I think, and you can't press your phone. You can't do anything with your gloves on. I think I got one of those fingers. Anyway, Luke 10, 36 and 37. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The experts in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. In our present day, the man in the ditch is all over the place. Yet through the lights, and through all of our comforts, we often miss that he is still there in the ditch. She is still there in the ditch. We can find these things in our lives. And we can pull that up. Neighborly love is further than that. It contains love. The second greatest commandment, neighborly love. Likewise, the first. I think they tie in together. Charity being the greatest of these. Charities can be a whole nother talk by itself rather than love. In neighborly love, we reach out to the afflicted. You guys reached out to me. You, my neighborly love. Through my time. And now I can't leave. That's one thing going through treatment. I said to myself, I'm going back and I'm going to make a difference for God. Because I want to show everybody there just how the works do work. And hopefully me standing up here today shows that. So I have you to thank a lot. Those prayers work. Next love is a tough love. Love your enemies. In Matthew 5, 43 and 44, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is a tough thing. Can you look at a soldier? I think about my grandpa. I went through World War II and fought the Japanese. And to love your enemy was a tough decision for him. He wouldn't talk about it. I remember when NSK came into Clarinda, and it was a Japanese factory. My grandpa was sore about it. And it's really the only time that I've seen him really show disdain for another people's. And
it ingrained in my mind.
But that was tough love. We can see tough love in the Old Testament and how God deals with the Israelites and them constantly denying the love and the direction that he's given. For me, I found tough love at a very early age. I was in my room one day, and for some reason, I started to pray and pray and pray for these crash-up derby cars that I wanted. And I wanted these bad. I'd seen them on TV, and I do not remember how old I was. I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old, but I remember this. And I thought the longer I prayed, the better chance I have of them being downstairs on the couch when I went downstairs. And I prayed. I think I even prayed some big tears came out. I was really doing a great job. And I was sure that when I went downstairs and on that couch, they'd be wrapped and gift wrapped for me and I'd be prayers answered. That's what I kind of thought. When I went downstairs, obviously they were not there. And I felt bad. I did not feel bad because they weren't there. The moment that I saw that those crash-up derby cars weren't there, I had a sick feeling in my stomach. That it hit me. What a selfish thing to pray for. Now, I was a little kid. I remember this very vividly. I felt very bad. I went back upstairs. I don't remember what I did after that, but I remember long from then until now, that stays in the pit of my stomach. That was tough love. And I'm glad it was, because it was very hard on me. I felt that I had disappointed God with my prayer. I was young. But in our prayer life, we have to ask out for things. As the years go by, that seems a little less hard on my conscience. But I don't think we ever stop learning tough love because we live in the world. And the world battles against our flesh. We always have to learn tough love. To turn away from sin is tough. And last, but most importantly, sacrificial love. Crucifixion of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his only Son because of the love for us. This was one love. And I suppose you can go back to Abraham and Isaac. Talked about one love. God will provide. So there's just different stories. I do with that. When we talk about Jesus and the crucifixion, I don't think you can spend enough time on it. It's just so important. But if we go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, read that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Love never fails. God is love. God does not fail. I want to read a little note. Maybe you've heard this before. I pulled this, but this is called the bouquet. One day at work, a woman received a beautiful flower bouquet. In it, she counted 11 flowers and found a short note in it. It was written in beautiful lettering and said, "My love for you will last until the day the last flower in this bouquet." The note was from her husband, who had gone on a business trip. Unsure as what to make of the message, she went home in the evening and soaked the flowers in water. One day after another, the flowers became a little less beautiful until they all died, all but one flower. This was the day she realized that there was one artificial flower in the bouquet that would last forever. That is God. I want to consider these stages of our love life. We have birth, we have a young child, we're a young adult, we're a parent or grandparent, and then we're dead. At birth, the love that a mother has for her beloved baby is giant. There is no doubt in her mind that she would lay down her life for her child. As a child, you're experiencing love through warm comfort, mother's milk, sleeping in peace, through loving smiles. A young child, you might experience love in the form of discipline. At the time of correction, neither you nor your teacher or parent feels like it's an act of love. But as we've learned through the exile in the Old Testament, if our Father in heaven did not use discipline, we would not have been destroyed. We would have been utterly destroyed by our sin. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." As a young adult, you're free to make choices and experience liberty in decision-making. Those choices you make now will be stored in your heart and shape who you are to become. To the young, I say, follow and live like Christ. Be different. Find love early and never forget where it comes from. And in death, our own death is a great act of love from God. Our test is over. God's love awaits us. His gift of eternal life within through Jesus' death upon the cross begins. And as a caregiver for the dying, a selfless act of love and honor, treating each other with dignity and cradling our loved ones with comfort and prayer. God is love. God hath not promised. Sky's always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. As I close, just find a verse of love every day and look at that verse. Find a different verse of love every day. The whole Bible is a love story. You can find love. I had some more things, but I think time's ran out.